Well, this morning we're going to continue in our teaching. We're looking at the three parts of faith, and we used an opening scripture, which really was the foundation, dealing in the areas of faith itself. Hallelujah. From Hebrews 11, and verse, starting in verse 1, it's now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And dealing with the area of faith is one of the things we find out is about faith. Faith, we're dealing with an unseen realm. Hallelujah. We're dealing with ourselves. We found out as we as a being, is there's a hidden man. We're the hidden man. Hallelujah. The real you is a hidden person. The real you. And that's what you got to come in contact with, because when we're dealing with faith, we talked about the fact faith is of the heart, or it's of that hidden man. That's where it operates from. That's where it starts. Many people are trying, and I've watched this over the years, many people don't develop their faith. They're trying to develop their mind. Now, we want to do that. You want to renew your mind, but start off, you want to develop your inner man. You want to get things in him, because that's where faith starts. Faith don't start in the mouth. Faith don't start in your mind. It starts in your heart. Now, your mouth is very important about what you say, but you want to speak what's in your heart. See, when Jesus was in the earth, when he said, I don't say anything that the Father don't say, in other words, he was speaking from his heart. He was talking out of the inner man. He wasn't talking out of the things just around him that are going on. Now, he talked things that had to do with those things around him and about changing things around them, but it all started on the inside. We have to need to know that. His faith is in the inner man, and it starts there. It's believing with the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Then confession is made unto salvation. In other words, the things that we believe in our heart, we can take the things from the unseen realm and make them manifest into the seen realm. That's what we're. That's our whole thing to do. If people want some heaven in the earth, it starts by in contact with the realm of the spirit of heaven's in. It's getting that into your heart, then speaking those things to bring those things to pass in this realm. Now we're talking about the third part of faith as we've gotten to. We're going to be spending time in is dealing with acting on the word or doing what the word says, following what the word. I've learned this over the years. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you say. It's what you do with what you believe and say that's going to turn around in your life. You got to, in other words, acting on it, putting it to work. And so we want to look at that area. That was one of the things that I don't know why it just grabbed me. Brother Hagin would talk when I first got born again, and I'd hear him talk about acting in faith. And that was one thing as I went to God. I was only born again a few months. I said, what's he talking about? How do I act? What do I do? See, I want to know specifics. People sort of, and sometimes people generally know about faith and how it operates, but you generally don't get much. Faith is a very specific thing to do. We find out this out in Scripture. If you follow Jesus' ministry and people getting healed, like we talked about last week, people get what they say. It's what they're believing and saying. You know, people say, well, I want God, whatever God wants me to have. Well, I never ran into a person yet who has everything God wants them to have. So you ain't going to have it just because you want it. Just because, well, if God wants me to have it, it'll show up, you know. That's sort of like God's in control. Well, if God's in control, why don't he straighten you out? Well, you know, that's what I had to do. If God's in control, how come I get unruly at times, okay? What's going on? See, the people that say that, see, we have all these, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ is basically a cliche church. They have these sayings, and we say them, and we say them, and people, oh, yeah, that the person's spiritual, they're saying them. No, they're not. They're just saying stuff. We're talking about something that actually changes things. If what I speak never changes me, it's a good chance it wasn't worth much what I said. We need to understand. This principle God teaches us in faith, this thing works. When you do what it says, it produces supernatural things. It does things that can't be done in the natural. This is one of the reasons why the world looks at the church and really doesn't have much admiration for it, because they don't see nothing from it. All they hear is good works talk. They need to see something. People need to see something. Why would God work through an evangelist to do signs and wonders if people didn't need to see things? That'd be the dumbest thing. That's stupid. Signs and wonders, one thing, man, it'll bring people's attention. You know, as they used to say about that the healing ministry, in other words, healing ministry, healing was the dinner bell to ring to people to get, in other words, it makes people come, gets people's attention. The supernatural. This is one thing as the world. You'll find it, any occult practices that do and things show up supernaturally, people will be drawn to it. I found this. I was more drawn to the occult because the church had nothing to offer me. The church that was around me, I didn't have a thing to offer. They didn't know if they were going to make it. They used to get them up testimony meeting. You know, we just had to testify things God did. They used to get up and their idea of a testimony was this. You know, pray for me and I might hang on till the end and that stuff. And I used to think, these are the saints and they don't know if they can make it. What good does it do me? What chance does Ed have? These are the guys at the top and they don't know if they're going to make it. You know, as a kid, I listened to that stuff and heard it and I thought, you know, this is always, we're just trying to get by. We don't know if God's for us, against us, or what. We don't know what it is. We don't know. We're just trying to make something. And so we need to understand this faith life. Faith life is a seen life. We take the unseen and make it seen. This is what we do. We take the unseen and make it seen. And we can do it through actions of our own. See, it's not enough for you to tell a person, you know, about it. They need to see the Christian life in action. They need to see that it works. They need to see that it does things. You know, we have to have something different. You know, it's something different. One of the things I was listening to is like that Kenneth Hagin talked about. Like he had over many years period of time in the ministry. He talked about how different things had happened and ministers had come to him. And he said, we used to think you were crazy. Because, you know, you didn't do things like we did them and that stuff. We thought you were just weird. You were strange. But they said, they watched his life. And you understand, people watch in life. I'm a watcher. I watch things. You know, people can tell me anything they want. I'm watching. You know, I'll find out if you believe something. We're going to hide and watch. Hey, if you got something, it'll show up. You know, if you ain't got anything, it'll show up. You know, and he said, over the years, these ministers would come to me and say, you know, we saw this. You didn't go through things. Your family didn't go through all the sickness and disease. Our did. They said, you know, your wives didn't have nervous breakdowns because the ministry was so bad. And you didn't have all these kind of things and stuff were going on. If you realize how much that goes on, you know, a lot of people in the ministry ain't happy. They're just going through the motions of things and doing their stuff. And they're worried about everything that goes on. They're stressed and tense. They're worried about everything, trying to make all the things, trying to, you know, do everything to make everybody else happy. I gave that up a long time ago. I figure you can't make them happy. Forget it. You know, don't waste your time with it. God can't make you happy. Don't look to it. And you know what? It's just like me. Ain't my job's of my wife to make me happy. That ain't her job. Hallelujah. That's between me and Jesus. If I can't do it with Jesus, what chance she got doing it? You know, everybody's trying to, somebody else, you know. I'm having a bad, if these people would quit this and I'd have a good life. No, if you'd quit, you'd have a good life. To get yourself over, because there's always troubles, there's always problems, hallelujah. But God's big enough to work into your life, hallelujah, for it to work for you. Now, we're talking about doing the Word. Last week, we looked at two people together with the woman with the issue of blood and also Jairus. We saw how God met them where they were at, each one. Each one did things. Each one did certain things. We need to see that. You need to carry out your faith. You know, with the woman with the issue of blood. She said what she needed to do. It was going to be very difficult to do it, to get in a multitude and for her to make it to where she needed to get to. She needs to get to Jesus. He's being thronged. There's people all around him pushing in and pushing in. She has to, you know, in other words, she has to push through all these people standing around, faithless people, blocking the way. You're going to find that in life. You're going to find that in the Christian walk. There's always a crowd blocking the way of faith. I found that in my Christian life all the time. There was always, you know, people, you're walking by faith, you're going down through, people telling me, you're just too radical, you're too this, you're too, they're always blocking. They don't ever get a thing ever show up in their life from God. And they're telling a person who gets stuff, you know, you're missing it. Like, dear God, get a life. You know, if you get too blessed, a lot of churches won't want you. Because you're an annoyance. because you make them feel bad because you show up and God moves in your life and they don't like that because you make them look bad. See, that happened to me when I was a young Christian and God told me to go to this church and we had all these older Christians and they didn't like me because God showed up in my life. God would show up and do that and they didn't like it. You know, tame this guy down. You know, it isn't saying, you know, I look at somebody, God's moving. I want to know what they got. What they got?
Amen.
God.
Amen.
A lot of Christians, that ain't the way. They get out the blankets and the water buckets and they want to put the fire out as quick as they can because they want to act like they're spiritual. And if you're around and you are and they're not, it don't look good for them. See, don't think everybody's excited about fire.
Amen. Great preaching.
Not everybody. People pray for it. But if it shows up, there's a lot of irritated folks because they find out they're not on fire. Instead of doing something to get on fire, most people, they just want to stay where they're at and you stay where you're at and don't get it over on here. Me and you calm down, you quiet down. Like I heard one guy say, you know, this guy got saved and he was really on fire and he told him, oh, yes, you get mature, you're going to calm down some. You'll calm. And I said, yeah, and he'll get dead like you are. He was real happy about that. He was a leader in the church and he was exactly right. He's dead. Leader in the church, and he's dead. He had no fire at all. He had a lot of religion. He could go around and quote a lot of things from the Bible. He could do all those kind of things, but he had no life. He didn't have no fire in him. Hallelujah. And praise God, we want to have some fire. Amen. You know, you see somebody on fire, throw gas on them. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't try to take something out of it. Go throw something on them. Amen. Glory to God. And then stand close to him, and you'll catch on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's easy to burn. You get near the fire. Hallelujah. We're going to look at some other people today. I want to look up in Matthew, the 15th chapter. Matthew, in his dealing of this, calls her a Canaanite woman. I think in Luke calls her Syrophoenician. Hallelujah. Which they were in the area of Canaan. So is where they were. But we want to look at this because, you know, see, I admire these people. I look at people. Do you ever notice about what Jesus uses the examples? If we have the examples of Jesus in the Gospels of people, he's always using the with healing stuff. It's always common people, just everybody, everyday people. He didn't pick out all the, you know, big popular. He didn't do that. Well, I love that because he picks up, to me, I can identify with these people. These are, well, you know, these are the kind of people I can understand. Where they're at. Well, this woman here, we want to look at what she did because here is an outstanding example of one using their faith. In other words, you can see her faith. It says in verse 21 of the 15th chapter of Matthew, it says, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And it says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. Now look at it. What did he do? She's yelling out to him. And what is Jesus? He's doing nothing. He doesn't do anything. See, you've got to learn from this stuff, folks, and learn how it operates. I learned this thing, you know, sometimes this is where people make a mistake. You can call out to God by faith. He might not say a thing. Do you know that you're in faith? See, when I know I'm in faith, I don't care if I hear something or not. I don't give a rip. See, I've learned over time. I'm not moved how I feel about it or what I think about it. If I'm standing in faith, God's responding. You know, God's responding to her. Jesus is responding to her. They say, well, it don't seem like it. You're going to find this principle out dealing with people in faith. God is always going to move you toward faith. And sometimes that requires the fact that you're going to have to push ahead.
Amen.
You're going to have to push. People don't do that. We're a comfort society. How can I be the most comfortable, have the less problem or anything happening around me? You know, I was listening to Brother Hagin on some teaching things. He talked about him in the ministry and doing things. He said, I was never called. God never called me and asked me to do anything. He said, I had any inclination I ever wanted to do it. He said, God always called me to do something that, you know, really, I didn't really want to do it. That isn't what I would, in life, I'd like to have done something else. See, most people say, well, you go out here and what you do is you follow, you know, whatever, you know, you're good at and do that. That ain't the way God operates. I don't know God like that. I can equate to people who say, God, use your talents. I can, because God never has called me to, I wouldn't be a preacher if I had was going to use my talents. Preaching and teaching was not my talent. That was not my talents at all. I didn't want to do that. That's not what I had any interest doing. God said, well, what do you want to do? I'll tell you. See, my heart, I knew I was called to it. Following my heart wants to go there. But Ed, in the natural standpoint, I don't have any inclination to want to do it. Why? Because another thing, you know, the grief it's going to put up to do it. See, you don't need an anointing to do what you can do. You have no need of it. You don't need anointed to do what you can do. You need anointed to do what you can't. Hallelujah. And I want, all I got to say, if God, from a talent standpoint, wanted me to teach and preach the word, I tell you what a mess it'd been. Thank God for the anointing to do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't see how some of these ministers, you know, you can get trained on how to do things naturally and even teaching and speaking, but I'll tell you what, I listen to some ministers, I think, man, how could you stand all these years preaching with no anointing and teaching with no, you know, you're a good orator, but man, you could sure use an anointing. Hallelujah. Because I tell you, there's a difference. You run into somebody that has anointing, and there's just something with that. It just got it. Hallelujah. And that's what you want, the anointing. Hallelujah. You want what God has. Hallelujah. Because He's God that makes this stuff work. So Jesus didn't answer a word. In fact, here we go. The disciples and His disciples came and urged Him, saying, send her away, for she's crying out after us. Now see, here's the disciples. Now here's great men of faith. See, they're following along with Jesus. Get rid of her, would you, Jesus? Make her go away. She annoys me. Now, what you think about this. Now, I heard about a major minister standing. He was doing an outside meeting and something like that. They were doing an outside meeting, and it was like, you know, people, the meeting he was doing for people, his followers. He's on the stage. They're sitting out in the hot sun. A guy has a sunstroke down, and the people down there, they're trying to get his attention. You know, guy down here, he got upset. He said, he told somebody else to go down there and minister to that guy. He said, can't they see I'm preaching and I'm talking? If I told you who his name was, you'd all be shocked. You see, you get this stuff going on. See, what they do is more important. Oh, this, it's like, people don't, that annoys me. It's a wonderful opportunity for a miracle, you know. I was in a meeting already, one of Brother Higgins. In fact, Oral Roberts was doing the ministry, and a guy fell dead. Oral Roberts just stopped, you know. But, you know, it's one thing, as I knew, is he was listening on the inside of what was going on. And the person died right in the meeting there. He didn't raise him from the dead. Well, you better know. There's going to better be. You better have a special anointing. You don't just run around and raise people from the dead on your faith if you don't know about that. That ain't happening. You just don't do it in your faith. But, you know, he didn't get annoyed. He didn't get, you know, things going on. Hallelujah. He just flowed along what was going along, and God ministered to everybody there, and it was good. So, you know, it's one thing. These disciples, hey, get rid of her. Jesus didn't say a word. I think he was giving the opportunity to the disciples to act stupid. But this woman, she has a great need, and she's coming concerning that need. And he said to him to go away, but he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now understand that, that's what Jesus was sent. In other words, Jesus was specifically sent to the covenant people of Israel. That's what he was sent to. Now after his resurrection, that stuff, the gospel was then carried out to the world. But up until that time, Jesus was sent first to the covenant people. That's what he was sent to. We need to know today, too. People need to know who they're sent to. Lots of times people don't know who they're sent to. Ministers don't. You know, people get the idea that they're just sent to everybody and everything, and somebody wants you and this and that. No, I'm not sent. I've had people, you know, they want you to do all kinds of things in ministry. I'm not called to it, and I ain't going to do it. You know, it don't matter. You know, people want you to do everything. You know, you do whatever I want. And Jesus said to her, I'm not sent except to the lost house of Israel. Now what she did, in other words, what she's seeing and hearing is everything of you go away. You know, this is not yours. But there's something that you need to get, and we're going to go into this thing. It's one of the things is we want to follow her and her actions. In other words, her actions of what she did would have either turned the whole thing around. It wouldn't matter what she said or what she believed Jesus could do. But she is on this course to get what she wants. She's not going to let this thing alone. You need to come to that thing. Whatever it is you're believing God for, you got to begin to take a mindset like this. Are you willing to accept less? Your actions are going to follow whatever you're willing to accept. Many times people start off up here with really a good expectation, but they end up receiving way down yonder. It's because to get up higher requires more. And lots of times there's always opposition to try to get there. There's that opposition. She has opposition to get. She knows that this Jesus can give her what she needs. She knows that. And she's there. And in a sense, she went to a store, and the only place she could get it is that store. And she ain't leaving until she gets in that store and gets it. That's what she's doing. This is the only place. See, if you have something that you're standing faith for, but you're willing to accept something from another place, probably you'll end up taking it there. You'll probably go to that other store that sells a more inferior product. Because you ain't willing to put up with what you need to do is to get that one. See, what do you want? This is what it's about. Faith is about this. You need to understand, faith is about this. Almost every time you have opportunity to accept something less. There'll always be those opportunities. There are always those opportunities to we're believing God, but here you are at this, and well, we're just... People do this all the time. Pressure is something people don't like. I don't know about you. I'm not big on it. I would like that everything would go nice and smooth and easy. I have never had a major miraculous supernatural thing take place for me without having to push into an area that was very uncomfortable to do. Never have had it. Never have had it. I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like with all this, you know. See, most people, they want to go to the meeting and Harry Potter's there with a wand. He goes, pew, and you get everywhere what you want. I ain't had that happen. It's always had to push things. And I'm just, you know, I'm sort of one of those that push. You know, I'll just do it. See, I was the youngest of 9 kids. You best push. Because you know what? The older ones, they ain't yielding to you. Forget it. You're going to have to take it. See, I learned how to do things to my older brothers. I learned how to bring fear to their hearts. They learned this. I'd grab anything I'd get a hold of and chuck it at them if they messed with me. They learned it. Me and my one brother, I almost hit him in the head with a hatchet one time. He kept messing with me. I told him to let me alone. He kept picking on me and doing stuff. And I grabbed a hatchet and he took off running. I threw that thing and it just went right past his head. You should have seen him. For weeks, he was clear of me. Stay away from that boy. He's nuts. So I was little, but when I got mad, see, you have to be that way. You got to take care of yourself. Faith is a place you got to take care of. Faith got to become something. Your faith got to become precious to you. When you're willing to easily lay it down, it didn't mean much to you anyhow.
Amen.
Now, I want you to think about that. See, lots of times our words are things that really haven't held an importance till we say it. We say the thing, but it hasn't grasped. It isn't one of those things. This is what's going to happen. There's where we're going. We're doing this. This is what I'm after. And how do you get there to it? Sometimes it isn't easy. Sometimes you got to climb a mountain or go through a swamp or do something to get to it, to what you want. And you're going to find it says, this is what this woman's going through. She's going through things. She comes to Jesus. He doesn't say anything. Disciples tell him to hit the pike. Jesus' first words to her, I haven't been sent to you guys. See, she's not a Jew. I haven't been sent to you. But we want to see something about this. You'll understand the power of faith. And this is the whole thing, is the point of this is the power of faith. This woman, she's persistent. Number one, she believes she can get from Jesus what she needs. She believes that. She is sold on this thing. She's just competing. Well, she turns around and says in verse 25, then she came and worshiped him saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. So in other words, here again, this push against the direction she's going. How would you like it? Jesus called you a dog. Now today, most people love it because they love their dogs more than they do people. So they would just think this is a wonderful thing. He must have complimented me. In those days, the American people wouldn't like Jesus because they didn't. The Jews didn't think dogs were cool. They were one of the low on the totem poles, the dog. By him saying this to her, he just called her a dog. And in their culture, man, this is like, you know, spit on me. Why not? Huh? That's what this. Understand this. Now, Jesus did this to this lady. Now, he must not be walking in love. That Jesus, he's not walking in love. You know what? He's pushing her faith. This is what he's doing. He is helping her, pushing her in the direction of her faith. Why? She's not offended. This lady ain't letting alone. You can call me anything you want. I'm still going after it. See, people aren't like that today. I was raised in a generation that was like that. Didn't matter. You just went after. Today, we're not like that. Today, people are quitters. You know, anything that don't work good. This is one thing. We have a lot of talk faith ministry today. So let's talk. Because people don't have the gumption to carry it out. People don't have the gumption to push to get what they need. As soon as things don't go right, you know, they're all bummed out. They're everything. This woman just, she don't let it alone. Jesus told her, said, hey, man, you don't, this good stuff that I got that you want, you think I ought to give it to a dog? And she said, oh, he yelled at me and called me a dog. And she went home. That's the Church of America. That's exactly what they do. You'll never go to that preacher no more. I'm just telling you this. Most of the church, if they ever got to know Jesus, would not like him. There's one thing as I learned about Jesus. Jesus pushes Ed toward faith, walking in faith. And he leads me in places that aren't comfortable. Everybody wants, yes, I'm beside the still water. He's restoring my soul. I get there sometimes. And then after he restores me, then he goes, now let's go back out to the fight, okay? You know, when I was in Vietnam, we went on R&R. Hallelujah. You got refreshed and ready to go back to the fight. That's right. That's what you did. They gave you a rest. You'd go out and fight more. That's what the whole thing is about. See, everybody wants to stay beside the still water all the time. Man, God sends me to Niagara Falls. He sends where sometimes it's roaring and hard to hear. Hallelujah. You just go there. But I'm going to tell you what, he'll train you that you'll hear there. Amen. That you can walk in that place and you're not troubled by the roaring water. Amen. Hallelujah. And see, that's the place we want. This is a place of faith. Faith's not an easy place to walk because it's the unseen place. There's nothing in the natural. You don't have the right feelings. You don't see the right things. That's hard because we're this visual society. Man, we carry our phones with us and we look at it because visual is everything. Sound and visual is, that's the number one thing of even the Christian today. It's the number one. This is our society. It makes it difficult in the areas of faith and hearing, listening on the inside of what to do, walking past all that you see and all that you hear. And boy, you know, it's just like we have in Scripture that says there's many voices. Man, are there many voices today or what? We have more voices yelling and they're at us all the time. It's always around us. Hallelujah. You know, Paul talked about being a good soldier. Hallelujah. A good soldier. I've learned this, like in the military, a good soldier. You have one thing you're listening to. We aren't pumping out good soldiers today because they're pumping out all kind of stuff. They have as much phone and all kind of stuff going on. When I was in the military, good soldier, you only had certain people you listened to and that's it. You don't listen outside. You know, you had your company you were in. You had your platoon, you know, your platoon sergeants. You had your, over the entire platoon, you had a lieutenant. Then you had the captain over the company and stuff like that. They talked. Anybody outside talking said anything, it didn't matter what they said. It was a chain of command that followed through. And if that didn't come through the chain of command down through, you don't pay no attention to anything else anybody says. So we need to learn as Christians. We listen to too many voices. Too many voices said, people claiming to have authority. Not in my company, they don't. Not in my platoon. I'm sorry. I knew who the head is, who's the author and the finisher of Ed's faith, and it's Jesus. There's a chain of command that I'm in that I have to walk in line. And any voice that's coming outside of that, I don't care what somebody else has out here. It don't matter to me. It's got to come through the chain of command to me. That's how you learn to walk by faith. See, we've lost all this stuff and these things because of today's society. We no longer submit to authority. You know, Jesus don't hold the authority to many that he should. The Word don't hold the authority that it does to many. You know, we cherish the Word and we love the Word, but I'll tell you what, we're not the norm. The Word means everything. Church is branching off into all kind of crazy stuff and things going on there. How they do that? They left the Word. They left the chain of command. They left the chain, and it'll always bring an effect. This woman has something she's want. She's on it. I mean, I love her. I like this. She ain't letting it on. I have something I want. I'm going to get it. I am going to get this thing. I'm hanging in there. And her response, she didn't yell at Jesus, say, what are you, how do you think of me? He does this. She turns around. What does she do? She calls him Lord. So you need to understand, Lord is a word of authority. In other words, the one who has what she wants and has the authority to give it to her, she treats him in such manner. See, many people today, their faith is in Jesus like, you owe me something. They don't treat him like Lord. Lord, Jesus, what I want, you're the only one that can give me, and you're Lord. And treat him with that. What was her response? She didn't get upset. He said all this thing. Didn't talk nice to her. That wasn't her response back to him. See, she's moving in an area of faith. She's in a place of faith. And her faith is going to talk. Jesus brought her to the place, hallelujah, where her faith is going to go far beyond other people's faith. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And what's Jesus' response? I want you to see that. Jesus was not called to her. But you know what? Her faith could take what was not called to her. Faith took it. Naturally, it wasn't hers. Naturally, she didn't have a covenant. It's just, you know, I've seen this happen. I have seen sinners already who believed God, who went and sat down and believed God, and they got things that a covenant person couldn't get. People say, well, how'd they do that? There's only one thing that can do that kind of thing, and that's called faith. They got faith in God. I've seen people who got faith to be healed, and they weren't a Christian at the time. Yet they listened to teaching on healing, and they got faith to be healed. They weren't under the covenant, but they got healed. Why? Faith supersedes everything. Faith supersedes everything. This is why you want to learn how to walk by faith. You don't be just some religious. You can point the finger at people in the world. They may be able to come up with more faith than you got. They may be able to take a hold of something you can't. See, this is why we need to be careful. See, this woman's not in the covenant, but she steps over in the area of faith. Jesus keeps pushing her faith, and this woman, she's got faith. Hallelujah. Jesus answered and said to her, oh woman, great is your faith. You know, he never made such a statement ever to his disciples. He never made any statement, such thing to his disciples or other people were generally that he ministered to. Never said these kind of things. He said, lady, you got faith. Why? Faith superseded everything. Trust in God. It is amazing what it'll do. But see, look at her actions. How did she get where she... her actions. It wasn't just believing. She could have believed that he could do that and went home and got nothing. It's her actions. It's how you act. Because I'm going to tell you, faith will always put you in a position. There's things coming again. You want to bring the devil against you? Go stand in faith. You want to have less problems with the devil? Just don't believe God. But every day you step out in faith, there's a knock at the door. Mike said, you got to look in there and say, man, is that thing out there mine? See, I might open the door to punch him in the mouth, but I close the door. We ain't having a discussion. Like Smith Wigglesworth woke up one night, looked down the end of the bed, and there's a big demon standing down at the end of the bed. And he looked down there and said, oh, it's just you. Roll over and went back to sleep. Oh, no. Shall I tell you what people do? They run into a problem in their life. The devil shows up and does something. All they want to do is go tell everybody what the devil brought to their door. Oh, I got this problem. Oh, I'm going through all this. They don't look down there and say, oh, it's just you. Hallelujah. Just some sickness showed up. Ha! Mm-hmm. Glory to God. We get that fixed quick.
Hallelujah.
this is a non-covenant woman can get it, there's a good chance Ed would should be embarrassed if he can. Mm-hmm. See, we need to change. There's a lot of things we need to change in our minds about things. A lot of our approach is how we think about it. Again, lots of times these become stories. They got to become living and real to us. It's one thing is I found this out. People say, well, you're just copying somebody else. Hey, if somebody got it right, I'm going to definitely copy what they're doing. It'll work. See, I've learned to practice these things. I've learned to put these things to work. Hallelujah, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. Said her daughter was healed from that very hour. Hallelujah. See, great faith reached across covenant and everything. Grabbed a hold of what she wants. She didn't turn around and let people say, you know, people turn around. How many, everybody knows people who got offended in church and they won't go to church anymore. Why? Because they're big babies. And see, they use it today as, we're going to minister the hurting Christian. No, we're not. We're going to minister to the big babies. Let's call it what it really is. Most of the hurting people are big babies. They don't want to, their faith faces stuff. They're mad at people of what they did. I've learned a long time ago, God will send you what you need in a package you don't like. Boy, I tell you, I found that sure is true. Amen. Everybody wants this nice little sweet thing. How could we talk about Paul's ministry? What could Paul have to preach to me for all he went through? If faith was supposed to make this sweet life. I mean, how could we look at these people? How could we run around and quote what they say? If that's our expectation. That's not what it is. The trying of your faith worketh patience. You know why it works your patience? Because stuff happens to make you impatient. That's why. If you stand in faith, I'm going to tell you what, if you stand in faith and your patience don't get tried, just face it. You ain't no faith. You get in faith, I want to tell you, something will happen and make you want to do something dumb. Make you want to say something dumb. Make you want to, something will happen. Just when you thought you were doing good, you found yourself laying fat faced on the floor with your nose pushed right down through. You know, it's just like, there you are. Well, you have a choice. You can get up, just get back, or just get offended, get upset. This happened to me. That happened to me. They did this. I tell you what, sometimes I believe the whole thing wrong. I'll stand in faith. I believe many times things will come against you in faith. Even from people and stuff that will speak that really, whether you realize or understand, it's good for you because it tries your faith. Whether you're going to stand in this thing or not, or whatever people are going to do, you're going to get offended at people. You ain't going to walk in love. You just throw your faith away. Don't play the game any time past it. You ain't going to get nothing anyhow. You can't get offended. You can't get this stuff. No matter what they're doing, hallelujah, you got to walk in love. Keep your faith running. Hallelujah. This woman never got offended. See, she's a champion to me in the Bible. Somebody would do this. Somebody could stand and do that. Here she hasn't been born and raised in Judaism. But she's doing better than all the Jews. She hasn't been taught, you know, the religion of offense. Well, you don't know what those sinners are doing out there and how they're acting. And I have to, I mean, God one time come complaining and crying about a place he worked. He worked at Hershey Foods and he was crying. A Christian guy complained, all these guys around and they swear and all this stuff and how bad it is. I said, well, you got a pretty weak Christianity. It bothers you people swear. I said, what if something bad happened? My God. I said, you're offended. I said, there are sinners acting like sinners. What are you so annoyed about other than they can't stand you because you're such a weakling? See, I knew how to minister to people. But see, you don't run around and point the finger at the sinner. Sinners act like sinners. Did you ever notice that? My job when I was a sinner, the devil used me to annoy Christians. That was my job. I had anointing to do it. And Christians would get so offended. Oh, you wouldn't, but I could offend a Christian just like that. I knew how to get them out of love so they couldn't get nothing from God. No way. Number one, I was born and raised around the Bible enough, I knew the Bible better than most of the Christians, and I could quote more scriptures. They just walked around, God's in control, and their life was a mess and wasn't in control of nothing. They're telling you why they need Jesus, and I used to ask them, well, look at your life, all that's going on. He ain't doing nothing for you. What's he going to do for me? They wouldn't know what to say. They'd just stop dead. Because they had nothing. There's nothing to offer. They couldn't give you a testimony. You know, we had testimonies. You guys come up and tell, hey, God's doing your life. Man, they didn't have no. I worked in Reese's and those Christians had none of that. The average one couldn't tell you God did anything. Other than, you know, I'm just trudging along on this pilgrimage on here on earth. One day Jesus will come, and I used to say, I hope it's quick to get you out of here. Because you need to go so the rest of us have a little insanity. Here it says, we'll be doing pretty good if you left. But see, we understand this faith. This woman, I admire her, the fact she didn't get offended, she didn't get annoyed, she stayed on track. She had an agenda, and she's following that thing. She's not bad-mouthing the guy who has what she needs, no matter what he says. See, she understood he had an authority in an area, and you need to understand that. There's one thing about you want to have the door closed on you. Whoever you're trying to get something for and they're in authority of, don't start bad-mouthing them. You won't get it. Nope. Say, well, he has a bad attitude. I'm sure she thought Jesus had a bad. Jesus didn't have a bad attitude. Everything Jesus did was right in Scripture. He didn't say anything at first to her. But see, he let her push and push and push with her faith. And his final answer to it. See, he wants to see. We're going to find Jesus operates in this manner with people, getting people to the place. I want to look at another one here because I want to look at blind Bartimaeus. We want to look at him too. See, do you see how actions are so important? Is what you do. Everybody thinks it's mostly faith stuff. Well, it's what you believe and would just make your confession. And it's going, no, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be obstacles to your confession. There's going to be obstacles that turn around and want you to weaken your confession. You can get offers of other things come in. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I've seen this already, of believing for a certain thing. And it seems like you can't get anything. And all of a sudden you set your faith to believe for a certain thing. And all of a sudden other things start showing up. Mm-hmm. Something usually less than what you wanted. And you say, no, hold it. I'm setting my faith in this direction for this. This is where I'm going to. This is what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, something's less. Well, I could get away with that, you know. I could have this. You know, God will always want you to stick to where you are. Yeah, just using an example with Mike and Darlene. I've used this before when they were going to build their house. And, you know, they got over. They were believing, you know, for this home and... They were going to build a house, and then they got over and thinking, well, you know, we're going too far, getting too extravagant. But see, they're believing in a certain direction. See, I didn't know any of this was going on. I didn't know nothing was happening. And then the Lord spoke to me one day and said, you go tell Mike and Darlene, you tell Mike and Darlene that if they change what they want to build, I ain't going to be in it with them because that isn't in their heart. You see, God wants to move them toward faith of what they're believing. He don't want them to move off of what they're believing. You know, what's what religion say? You know, you went too far. See, when they tell me I went too far, I know I'm in the right direction. I've gone too far. Other people can't go there. You know, today you don't have to go too far to be too far. But anyhow, so I went and said that. I told them, you know, you guys have to have the desire to build. I said, go with what's in your heart. I said, the Lord told me to tell you, if you do something else, that's not in your heart. He can't bring that to pass. He can bring to pass what's in your heart to do. See, get yourself on that. See, many times people have a certain thing in their heart and are moving toward that. Something else comes along and they want to change and they step over and end up with nothing. They wonder what happened. Why? That other thing wasn't in your heart. That wasn't what God put in you. And so, praise God, they went with what was in their heart and it worked, didn't it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, it worked. God was in it for them, blessed them. This is what you wanted. What is in your heart? And follow that. You got to stay with that. Now, we're doing this in Mark, the 10th chapter. We have blind Bartimaeus here. And the story goes and starts in the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. And in verse 46 says, now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho and his disciples and a great multitude. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he went out. Now understand this. This guy's yelling, here again, a great multitude. There's a multitude of people. There's a multitude. So we're not talking about there's 100 people around here. Multitude. Now I want you to see, this guy, he cries, he says, Jesus, Son of David, he's crying this out, have mercy on me. Then it says, many warned him to be quiet. It didn't say some. Many. Now how long, y'all, was this guy yelling that in a multitude, he's annoying the multitude? Let me tell you, it don't take much to annoy a multitude. You don't. You don't want them all to do what they, you don't do what they want. They'll let you know. But it's a man. No, tell them, be quiet. Now here's a guy. He's blind. He hears that Jesus is coming by. This is Jesus. He can't see. He hears Jesus come by. Hey, Son of David, have mercy. See, he can't see where Jesus. He can't see the crowd. He can't. There's all these people. It's all this thing going on. He can't see it. All he has is voice, and he's yelling. And then there's all of these wonderful, you know, really religious Jews around him, or what today we say Christian, would you please keep quiet? We're trying to follow Jesus. Would you, don't annoy us. Hallelujah. You know, we don't need any miracles. We're just following Jesus. We don't know wherever he's going. They're walking around. Because we find here, you know, he goes out. He said multitude went out. His disciples, a great multitude. And there's this blind Bartimaeus. They tell him to be quiet. And this is his response. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. You see his actions? It is just what he said. His actions. What's his actions? He has something that he wants, and he is not letting this thing alone no matter what anybody else says about it, what anybody else does. See, Christianity today is an appeasement movement, trying to keep the seeker-friendly church is based on the fact, let's try to appease people, give them what they want. Because, see, we're too radical. See, if we follow, this book is too radical. This stuff going on here, this is radical stuff. You're too noisy in the crowd. You're so loud, you know. No, we want it peaceful and quiet and everybody, you know, come by, yah, you know. We're tiptoeing through the tulips together. We're having a great time and God's not doing anything. And this seems to be the things that people like or want. What does he do? They say, be quiet. What does he do? He does the right thing. He's not letting his faith be pushed down by people around him because they're annoyed. You're always going to have the annoyed. You're always going to have the ones that don't like your faith. They don't like the way you believe. They want, let's get over. Let's have a Christianity that we can all agree on. It'll be man's Christianity. It won't be God's. It's going to be man's. What makes me feel comfortable? I don't know about you. If you're comfortable with everything that's written in the Bible, you're way ahead of me because the Bible can uncomfort me sometimes. But you come to the place, you got to let it speak to me. Whether I like to hear it or not, you got to let it talk to you. You got to let it say what it has to say to you. Hallelujah. You got to do that. Because if you don't do that, naturally you'll never talk over the crowd. You'll follow the crowd. I like Bartimaeus. They say, shut up, and he gets louder. He just gets louder. So what happens? See, this guy's operating in the areas of faith. He believes Jesus has what he needs. And if he can get Jesus, he can get it. Now remember, he's operating on where he has faith. His faith is he needs to be able to get to Jesus to get it, that he has to go there. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, when she can get to Jesus, she'll get over there, she'll touch him. We had Jairus, hey, you come to my house and lay hands on me, that'll work. You come and do that, so you have to come and lay hands on it. The woman with the issue of blood, she didn't believe he had to lay hands on her. Yeah, I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. You see, everybody's getting where they're believing. You need to understand this about faith. I learned this as a young Christian, reading these things, and God spoke to me. He said, you see this, everybody gets what they want on the way they believe. I started to see this. I said, well, that's not the way. They teach us one way. You know, you do it this way. You do it that way. Most people are on there. They're waiting for the laying on of hands and what they have to do. They're looking for a certain person to lay on their hands. And that person may be at a meeting on the other side of the country, and I can't get there, and I can't. So, you know, I have to wait till he comes to my side. That's your faith talking. See, you can determine what you can believe. That's why you want to study this Bible, where you can bring Jesus on the scene where you're at. Hallelujah. That Jesus is on the scene where you're at. By faith, you can take a hold of it right where you are. That's where the Lord taught me had taught me in that is one of the things that the Lord for years would not allow me to have anybody lay hands on me. And he told me why. He said, I did that. He said, so you'd learn to believe so you can teach people how to operate the faith. See, lots of times people need somebody specifically other than Jesus. People get over where they follow people. And their faith is really in the individual and not in Christ. And I had to get myself over, he said, so you could walk by faith. He said, you learn to do it by faith. You learn to operate by faith. He said, therefore, you can tell people how to do it, how to do that, how to operate in faith, how you can get God right on the scene of where you're at right now. You don't have to be at some special place. You're at home. I have numbers of things. God showed up, did wonderful things. Signs and wonders happened. Me believing God by myself, I didn't have to have a special person there to do that. And the Lord taught me those things. Now, that was not easy to do. I started off. I go to a church, and everybody operates exactly different than that. You know, you go to a certain person, they lay hands on you, you go to the, they're all doing this thing. I didn't realize it till I heard Kenneth Hagin say it. He said, the highest level of faith is you believe the Word of God yourself and receive it and get it done. He said, that's the high. People don't believe that today. Most people operate on lower levels of faith. When I realized that, that's what God was doing to me, trying to teach me how to operate in a higher level of faith. So that's what these people are doing. They're operating really. The whole thing is, see, they're after something in the fact that I'm going to do whatever I do to get it the way that I ask for it. I'm going to get this thing. And see, you got to come to that place. Now, he waited like here for Jesus. This is Jesus coming by. You understand, these people didn't have the teaching we have today. They didn't have the availability of what we had today. You know, this guy don't know what to do. He sure ain't taught faith by the Pharisees and the scribes. They ain't teaching them how to do it. They're just teaching law without faith. All it is do's and don'ts and all this. And we need to watch. Today we can have a lot of that, the do's and the don'ts. I've watched this. I've watched people who know all the do's and don'ts, and they cannot get near what many people don't know, a lot of the do's and don'ts, because other people operate in faith. And they get things happening for them. People get annoyed by it. I've watched this over the years. I've had people say, I don't understand so-and-so. They don't really walk that good as they should, but boy, God seems to bless them. Why on earth? I do this and that. Yeah, because you're operating in the areas of works. You're trying to get from God based on you were a good guy. Well, forget that. You ain't ever that good. See, they believe God. In spite of their lack of goodness, they believe God will work for them and He shows up. Why? Because faith pleases God, not your works. Not sure Mr. or Mrs. Goody Two-Shoes, and I did all this right, and God will do this for me because I did everything right. You know, I hear people preach these last days, the church really gets pure and gets this and that, then God can really move. Well, I'm going to tell you what, He ain't ever going to move. We might as well go now. God don't move because you're Goody Two-Shoes. God will move because somebody believed God. My words, if a woman who ain't even in the covenant can get God to do something, how on earth can we preach such a thing? I'm tired of hearing preachers preach this stuff. What they keep doing is kicking revival down the road. They keep kicking the tin can down the road. When we arrive at this really spiritual place, we'll have a revival. I just wish they'd shut up. You want to have a revival? First get one yourself. Get revived. Hallelujah. Get some life in you. Glory to God. I don't need somebody else to get it. I can have it if I do it, if I walk by faith. See, that's what we want to do. You want to walk by faith. See, you can have revival when nobody else is having revival. You can have it in your own life. You can stay refreshed and whatever else. Amen. Hallelujah, by faith. Not because you do everything right. If we're only going to get to the top by doing everything right, I'll just this. Ain't nobody getting to the top. Ain't nobody getting to the top. We're not perfect, ain't you noticed? I'm amazed how stupid I am sometimes. And what about you? Amen. But you know what? God moves. God moves. Why? He responds to my faith. He don't respond to my outward perfection. God looks at the heart. Hallelujah. Living out of the inside. Glory to God. Well, this guy's crying out. Says, so Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. See, faith will bring God to a halt. Just like Smith Wilbur said, God will move over 1 million people to get to one person in faith. And He's doing that. We saw that with Jairus. We saw that woman with the issue. God will move over 1 million people. Here's a multitude. Is anybody getting healed, the multitude? Nobody. Why? One guy in faith and God stops. one guy in faith. Well, what about you? What, you can't be the one person in faith? See, this one thing is I look at this stuff and I think, I can stop God dead in his tracks.
Amen.
I get in faith, he'll move over 1 million people just come see it.
Thank you, Lord.
What about you? Well, he'll do the same thing. He'll just come to a stop. Said, hold it. I heard faith yelling. Ha! I'm going over there. Hallelujah. See, you need to see yourself. When you believe God, see this, most people believe God, you know, they're going to believe God showed up when they see something. Well, you already missed it. You ain't faith. When I believe I receive it, God is already on with it. It's already started. When I believe I receive it, he done stopped and come over dead. See, yeah, there's a guy in faith over here. I'm going over here dead. He's in faith. He'd do the same for you. See, we have this believing too much of that idea if something shows up. When we start seeing change, then God's moving. No, I'm sorry. God's moving toward it as soon as he believes it. He'll do the same for you. He's no different to anybody else.
Amen.
You see, you need to get that in your faith. I believed I received. He's on the scene. Amen. God's on the scene of my problem. He's a working on it right now. Hallelujah. He's right on the scene right now working for me. He's doing right now. I don't have to wait to see. I'm going to tell you, I always say this all the time. Hide and watch. You'll see it. Mm-hmm. It'll show up. Just hide and watch. You know. Stick around. It'll show up.
Hallelujah.
See, that's why people, they get so excited when it shows up. Why? Because they never believed in and believed it was going to show up until it showed up. They called it faith. God does much of what he does out of mercy, not people's faith. He couldn't do nothing for most people if it wasn't for mercy. Whether people like to hear it or not. Like I've had people, well, you didn't seem so excited after that happened. No, I done did my jig and dance back there when I believed I received it. Hallelujah. That's when I got, woo, that belongs dead now. Hallelujah, that's mine. Glory to God, it's going to show up. And people say, I'm going to believe for the manifestation. Well, then you didn't believe you got it. You're going to believe when it shows up, you got it. That's not faith. No faith in that. Hallelujah, I already got it. God's on the scene working. It might not look like God's working at all. It don't matter. God's on the scene. Hallelujah. If this blind Bartimaeus, if his voice can stop God in his tracks, hallelujah, how about yours?
Amen.
You're a born again sons of God.
Amen.
If our faith can't stop him in his tracks, they say, let's back up here. This guy's over here. Hallelujah. Say, well, God seems so far away. I'm sorry, I don't go by my feelings or my semens.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I go by faith. See, that's what you need to do. Is at the time. See, we need to change how we think about God moving. See, these wonderful stories are here, in here. These are to depict to us how God operates and how God works. We're supposed to be able to see the kingdom and its function and how it runs. Hallelujah. He comes to a standstill. And commands him to be called. So then they called to the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you. After they tell you, shut up, shut up. Okay, get over there. He finally, you know, he's going to see you. I'm sure there's people who call, well, why does God want to see him? I was being really nice and respectful, and I was just, you know, he didn't stop for me. Why? You weren't in any faith. You thought your works was going to move God. You thought you were being nice and cute was God was going to. I'm going to show up because he's nice and cute. He does good things. I'm going to show up for you. No, he's moved by faith. This guy yelling in the crowd. I can get what I need from him. I'm blind. I can get what I need from that guy. I want him. Hallelujah. So in throwing aside his garment, said he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, now listen to this. Does this sound stupid? What do you want me to do for you? There's a blind guy showing up. What do you want? See, people think this kind of stuff's stupid. It's not stupid. Jesus wants a response of faith out of this man. God wants a response of faith out of you. He's going to go for it. God may not take you with the faith you start with. He'll move you to a place to take a greater step of faith. This is what people don't do. They don't pay attention. They just stay where they're at. They stay in that place. I found it many times God wanted me to take a step further. You know, when I had my heart attack, when I turned around and got a hold of faith, and I ain't going to die, I'm going to say, strength started coming back to me, but you know what? I didn't get completely healed there. It started working on me, but I had to put actions of faith. See, inside of me, there was a rising up. There was a guy, the guy on the inside got mad. The guy on the, see, I've got to follow what's on the inside. The guy on the inside wasn't the Holy Ghost, it's my own spirit. See, you're, how strong is your own spirit? See, many people don't develop their spirit, don't get strong. My spirit got mad at the devil trying to kill me. My spirit, the inner man, didn't like that. The guy, the place of faith, he didn't like it. He rose up, he was angry. See, you ain't taking my body away. You ain't going to do that. But I knew I had to take a step further because I had learned over the years about this making actions. And that's why I said, I'm going to go for a run. Now that sounded completely insane, and it was. That was a completely insane thing sounded to do. But I'm not acting out of what is my heart. I knew I could do that. I knew I could do it. I knew I wasn't going to die. Now this is one thing. So you go out and you start to do it, and you know, I wasn't doing much of anything running. I was trying to get one foot in front of the other and do it, you know, and you're breathing hard and you're sweating and whatever else going on, and you have all this thing going on, you know. I got this pain and stuff in my chest and things and on my shoulder, and I'm moving along slowly. See, there's all the opposition. And then this voice started talking to me. It's the devil. What are the people in your church going to think when they find you dead along the road? What are they going to think? See, you got this opposition. Opposition always to what you're doing. See, it isn't enough my body's yelling at me. Now the devil's yelling at me. Now you have a choice. You're going to go, but it's on the inside. You're going to have to go by this thing. You're going to have to do this. You got to push. You got to do something to go further. Jesus says to this guy, well, what do you want? Oh, I have a bad limp in my one leg here. You know, I don't mind being blind, but this limp, I just got to know. He said, what do you want? Why did you do all this yelling? What are you, in other words, he wants to find out what this guy, what's he? Blind Bartimaeus said, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. I've been yelling at you because I want to see. This is what he wants to get the guy to say. I've had people turn around and want a certain thing and then ask me to pray for them and then say, but I only want what God wants me to have. Well, I know this. They ain't getting nothing. That was total stupidity out of their mouth. Why would you be asking me to pray for a certain thing for you when you don't know if God would want to give it to you to begin with? And then, you know, I've had people call themselves faith people. Rhema graduates say things like that to me. And I look at him like, my God, cast that devil out of him and set him free. Out there. So what's Jesus' response to this guy? He says, go your way, your faith made you well. See, people say, Jesus healed this guy. No, he didn't. Jesus said, your faith made you well. What he did, see, he had faith. He believed that if he got to Jesus, he'd get what he wanted. He believed that. His faith stopped God right in the middle of what he's doing. That he could get, that his faith could be fulfilled. Hallelujah. See, really, when he started yelling for Jesus, he's starting to release faith. People say, ah, keep quiet. No, he just gets louder. See, his faith gets noisier and noisier. Gets more irritating to people. Faith will actually make people irritated. It will. People get irritated, you know, faith. As you know, the story, you know, I tell the guy, the minister told the story about the fact the guy that's going to shoot the biggest moose said I don't know if it was Ontario or Quebec province, one of those two. This guy started making confession. The Christian guy said he kept saying he was going to shoot the largest moose that was in Quebec or Ontario province. He said he's going to shoot the largest one. Now, he went to this one church, and he said, this guy, all he'd ever do is say that, I'm going to shoot the largest moose. He said he'd say it all the time, and he said, we just got irritated at him. Because every time he turned around and talked to this guy, he said, you know, I'm going to shoot the largest moose that's ever been shot. And people give me, the pastor would hunt with this guy, and the pastor got upset at him. You know, he said, I just got so annoyed at him and hearing this all the time. And he said it. He said, moose season come up. And he said, I was going moose hunting with him. And he was telling me, you know, I'm going to shoot the biggest moose. And he said, I'm irritated because we already got out late to get out of start to get into where we wanted to hunt. He said, there's probably already people in that area. We're not going to get to where we went. And they're walking back. They parked. They're walking back a logging road. And they're walking back this logging road. And he said, we're walking back through it. He said, this enormous bull moose comes out and stands right in the middle of the logging trail. And he said, this guy was in front of me and he just knelt down and shot it. And he said, it was the largest moose that was ever shot. But see, people got annoyed at his faith. He kept telling people, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm doing. Yeah, I want to shoot it. He said, we all got irritated, but he got what he said, and we got nothing. See, that's a good story. But see, one thing, I found out faith annoys people. Christians will get annoyed over faith. You talk unbelief and they love it. You know, say something stupid about your problem. And people, oh, we'll pray for you. Say, now we got two dummies in the crowd that ain't getting nothing. Oh, so we're going to do something about this, Pastor, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. But go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Hallelujah. If these people can do it, can you? Yes, you and I can do it. Hallelujah. You and I can. See, I can identify with these people. I mean, here's a nobody in a crowd that's blind. But you know what? He had faith. But I'll tell you what, his actions, he's getting to Jesus. He's going to yell and yell. If I can get to this Jesus, I'll get fixed. This is going to get changed. He won't let it alone. And see, that's why I want you to see this concerning actions. I want you to look at something here. I just want to say concerning how powerful actions are. I want you to see this out of Acts, the book of Acts. I want you to show you this. We have some other. Next week, we're going to look at some other, because these are wonderful Bible examples. These things inspired my faith to be able to see these people and what they did. I could identify with them. See, we always today, we're always looking for some kind of hero. And somebody who's, you know, we got, you know, sports and stuff, the guy that does the most, he becomes the hero. And I don't find, they're not my heroes. Those people ain't ever my heroes because, when I see the guy down here, just everyday Joe, can identify that, look, this is where I'm at. And he can get it. I can get it. See, when I saw Kenneth Hagin is getting off the bed as a young man, a young boy getting off the bed of healing, first thing I said about it, if he can do that, I can do that. I said, I ain't going to let some teenage kid outdo it. So you got to decide if they can do that. See, and I look at people, these people in these situations, these are people I can identify with them. You have these problems. You're in these situations. There's oppositions against you. And if they can stand, I can stand. If they can do this, I find out the wonderful pattern things about them. Well, in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, I want to show you something here that's really interesting. There's one of the things in Scripture that I always really like concerning actions. In the 8th verse, it says this. This is the Apostle Paul's ministry. He said, in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting crippled from his mother's womb who had never walked. It said, this man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. In other words, this guy had faith. Look what happens here. It says, and he said, faith to be healed, and with a loud voice said, stand up on your feet, and he leaped and walked. I want you to see this. Do you see faith that was just acted on was the same as faith? When people say speak, actions caused that man's faith to produce what he wanted. His actions did. Paul just got the guy to act on his faith. This is where people, today, there's much in confession. I'm big on confession. It's a big part of dealing with the areas of faith. But we have amplified it out of doing. We have made it a biggie up here instead of the doing. It is so doing, is so powerful that a man's faith was released. He was healed who had not walked ever in his life because Paul got him to act on his faith. Paul didn't say, now make a confession that you're healed. Just confess that. Confess and believe that you're healed. Nah, you got faith? Get up! And he got up. Hallelujah. See, that's the power of acting. The power of acting like what you believe is true. If anything, I want you to get a hold of that. Believing something is wonderful. Acting like what you believe is a hugely powerful, powerful thing. See, that's when the Lord spoke to me some years back about me acting. He explained it to me like with the working of miracles. He said, in the working of miracles, he said, you do, He said similar to what the working of miracles does. He said under the working of miracles, a person does an act that causes a miracle to take place. Like we have, you know, we see in the scriptures at times, like, you know, the water is poisoned and they throw a bush into it. Mm-hmm. See, they do an action and it does a certain thing. We threw it through the scriptures. You'll follow it through the scriptures. Things that the floating axe head, because they did something, the axe head floats. Different things that people do. Working of miracles takes place like, and the Lord spoke to me like that. He said, in a sense, He said, you have seen many miracles and things have happened to you because of the actions you've done. And He said, you've seen a lot of things because you do extreme things. Your actions are extreme. They're in line with what I'm believing. They're just, now, God don't specific, people would think it was very extreme, and that's what He's trying to point out to me. People think I do extreme things. You know, I've had over the years of people, you know, you got to tame it down a little bit, you know, you get tame it down, don't go to that, say, you know, just be like me and never get a miracle. You know, just, but see, I learned that those actions that you do, those things over time, as the Lord taught me, when He taught me when I was feeling bad and said, get out of bed, He said, well, if you believe you're healed, then get up and act like it. Well, see, what He was doing, He was leading me to actions. Act like what you said you believe is true. Act like it. Act like it's true. That's not always fun. That's not always fun to do. That's not easy to do. All the things that I look over the years, you know, I've had things and that stuff. But see, I practice these when I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company. I would practice this kind of stuff all the time. I would do it. I would act. I would just put my line in actions. I had one time I had got an ingrown toenail, and I sat down and I cut that thing out myself. And oh boy, was that fun. Oh man. I had let it go too long, and then I cut it out. And I'm going to tell you, my toe was sore. Oh, man. Well, then he had to go to work and that stuff, and I'll tell you, walking was tough. You know, I cut this thing out of there, you know, and I know some people say, yeah, you go to the doctor and do that. I said, Dr. Gibson will take care of it. I'll just get it out. And I just, you know, and I took it out. But, you know, I went to work. I'll never forget driving to work, and I'm thinking, I was going to get out of the car after I parked the car, and I was thinking about, oh, my foot hurts. And I stepped out of the car and I stepped on it and said, it hurts. And I said, that's it. I just stopped right there. I said, I'm tired of this. I ain't putting up with this all day. I said, this thing's healed and I'm going to walk on it normal. I believe I received my healing. I'm going to start treating it like I'm healed. Well, I'm going to tell you, that was really fun at first. I started walking and just putting pressure on that thing and walking. And I'll tell you what, it hurt. Until I hit the door of the building going in, every bit of pain lost left my foot. Nothing was gone. I've learned this over time. I believe it's healed. I start acting like it's healed. Well, I'm gonna keep walking like this, you know. I believe I get my healing. In other words, I'm never gonna act like this as I got it till it shows up. No, I said I believe I got it. Hallelujah, it's mine. Oh my God, I don't. You want to say I don't think I got it? That's what you want to do. Hallelujah. But see, your actions, when you believe something, start to act like it's true. One of the best and easiest things you can start to do, and that starts as soon as you pray or do whatever it is that you say that you're doing, is the first thing to do is start to act like you got it. Mike read the scriptures this morning from Philippians. We're supposed to ask, he said, with thanksgiving. First thing I do is when I pray and I believe I receive something, the first thing I do, I start acting like, thank you, Lord God, for giving me. I'm so glad I'm healed. I'm so glad I got this. I just start doing it. That's what I do. The first thing I do, most people pray and then all they're going to do is make a confession here and there and they're going to just keep on. They never stop and they never act like they got it. See, if you're thankful that you got it, that's acting like you got it. If you're just waiting for it to happen, you ain't thankful and you ain't going to start thanking till your thing takes place. I learned to do that. I learned that from one of the stories that Kenneth E. Hagin told, I thought was really good. It was a woman. He was ministering in a meeting and that stuff. And after it was over, people bought a woman up, was in a wheelchair. And he said the anointing had already left him. He lifted off of him that he was the anointing that he was ministering. And when she came up, he said, but you can always minister to people by faith. And he said, you know, she was in a wheelchair. She had been in like 4 years. She wasn't able to walk. She had, I think it was some type of arthritis or something that she had had. She wasn't able to walk. And he just gave her 1 Peter 2:24, but he said, always give people the word. He said, we can always pray by faith. But he said, he talked about this lady, and he said to her, to her, "Do you know that you are healed?" She's like, "What?" She said, "You know that you're healed." And she said, "Well, no." She said, "Here, I want you to read this." And he got his Bible and he opened it and he had her read it. And she got a hold of it right away and she said, "By his stripes, you were healed." She said, "Well, then I am healed." Now, she hadn't had anything. She hadn't had nothing. She said, "Wow, the light came on. She was healed." See, this is one of the things that most people don't have this. Most faith people don't have this revelation. They're trying to get healed. They're trying to believe for healing instead of receiving healing. Believe it. And he said, and I remember him marking this. He said, when she saw that, he said, "There, sitting in that chair, never moved, she lifted her hands and started to praise God and thank the Lord." She said, "Lord," she said, "Lord, I just want to thank you for healing me." She said, "I have been so tired of sitting in this chair, and I'm glad I don't have to sit in this chair anymore. I'm glad I'm..." Now, she hadn't had nothing. I can't hardly ever run into a Christian who would ever talk like that. Oh, they'll ask you to pray in there, but they don't talk like that. This woman's there, "Oh, thank you, I am so glad." Said she sat there and talked like that. And he said, I looked at her and said, "Well, dear sister, go ahead and get out of the chair." And said, she got up and walked right out of that chair. See, what she did set things in motion. See, I learned it. If you get somebody to lay hands on you, you shouldn't shut your blab mouth when that thing's over to you being thanking God and things. People walk totally silent. They go, hands laid on them, walk back to their seat. Sit down in their chairs and do that thing. They don't throw their hands in the air and say, "Praise God, I got healed. I got glory to God." No, people think I'm weird. See, I don't want anybody to think I'm weird. No, too late. Ed's weird. I'm going to be weird. I'm Mr. Weird in the crowd, okay? We're just going to do weird. Why? Because I want my faith to work. And I learned, faith don't work with most people do. I watch most people and it don't work. Why? Because their actions. They kill their faith. James said, faith without works or faith without action, it's dead. Act like you got something. Hallelujah. Thank God. Don't worry what other people think. Don't want to worry about it. Is it more important about you getting what you want? Man, sick people ought to want so well they could care less what the rest of the bunch think. You know, be Barnabas. Just, they tell you to quit yelling, I'm just yelling more. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Let's be noisy people when it comes to our faith. Hallelujah. Don't let people deter you or whatever else going on. Number one, they need to see somebody get something. People need to see people get things that they say they believe they got. Well, if I have it, then I'm going to act like I got it. You know, so you can only go so far in your actions like you got it, but you act like, you know, I'll just keep moving in a direction and moving in a direction. You know, I tell the story, you know, about my tearing the leg in my foot. You know, I just kept, you know, got up in the morning, put that shit. I'm figuring what I can do, at least I can go. I'm heading to Mexico. I'm going to Mexico. I'm going down. See, I'm acting like I'm healed. I'm going to Mexico. God told me to go there. Hallelujah. I believe I'm healed. Hallelujah. See, there's my foot. My foot's saying, "Oh, sit down, stupid. Don't keep walking around. This hurts." Hallelujah. But I'm walking in direction. I know, but I don't do it. I do it because on the inside, I believe I can do this. See, it's knowing that inner man, knowing on the inside. You knew that battle. One of the biggest battles you're going to deal with is between your spirit and your body. Your body got a loud voice, and most people have trained their body to dominate and rule. They have trained it because every time it gets to a place, you know, it does something. I remember years ago, you know, I was teaching back many years ago. I first started off as teaching on the areas of on fasting. And I remember a woman, you know, came up and said, "Well, I can't fast." And I said, "Oh, you can't." Well, I said, "Why can't you fast?" "Oh, if I miss a meal, I get a headache." I said, "Boy, your body don't dominate you much, does it?" I said, just in what you said, you're definitely going to always give your body what it wants. I said, you're going to always have trouble walking with God. You're going to always have trouble because your body's going to always dominate and rule you. That's what it is. That's what it's going to do. But that was what she would, you know, I can't, you know, if you can't miss a meal, you got a problem. You got a major problem. You can't miss a meal without getting a headache. Man, your body's yelling, screaming loud at you. You don't give me what I want, man, I'm going to treat you bad. I'm going to make you suffer. And that person really thought themselves very spiritual. See, people, we need to know this. I mean, your body dominating. You got to do things. Hallelujah. I've learned all the time, sometimes you just got to act against your body. Your body wants it. You just got to act. That's not always fun. It's amazing how powerful your body is and how what it does wants to manipulate you in things. You know, when your body ain't happy, it can treat you pretty rotten. You know? You got to learn to deal with that. But it's learn to deal with by faith. Get on the inside, just operating against it. I'm not just trying to push through something. That's not what I'm doing. I'm acting in line of what I believe. It isn't there sitting having a lot of pain to say, well, if I just keep doing this, the pain will go away. That ain't faith. That's not faith in God. That's your idea of what... No, I believed I was healed. There's a whole different scenario in this. I'm operating on the area of the Spirit. I believe that's dominating. I believe that I'm healed. So I'm acting in line with what I believe. I don't believe that I'm trying to work through this and when I hit it. Because when you do that, that's works. You're over in that area of works, believing you're, if I just do enough of this, then that will make it work. That isn't what I'm doing. I'm just acting in line with what I believe. I believe I'm well, so I'm acting in line with that. See, so many times people try to get over in the areas of works, and if I do this certain thing. See, people get in, if I don't take medicine, then I'm in faith. You know, if I don't take medicine. Well, if I didn't take medicine, it would be because I didn't believe I needed to take it. That's a total different thing than not taking medicine. That is works trying to get healed. There's a total difference. I don't believe I need that. Total difference. See, you got to come to... Many people are trying to go over here. They're trying works things. They're trying to prove something to God. I ain't trying to prove a thing to God. He knows if I'm in faith or not. We ain't trying to prove it. When I believed I received it, He's already working on my thing. Hallelujah. What I'm doing is acting like, and which benefits my faith, which helps fortify my faith, is when my actions are in line with what I believe. See, that keeps my faith strong. It isn't about God. God knows if I'm in faith or not. There's one thing, and let me tell you this about faith area. God is not going to tell you to do anything that you could not do by faith. He wouldn't tell you to do it. He'd be a fool. And anyhow, why would you tell somebody to do something by faith where they can't do it? They couldn't do it. See, many times people need to understand this. You know, I've had people tell me this. Well, you know, God told me to go to the doctor, so God wants us to go to the doctor. No, God had to tell you to go to the doctor because you couldn't operate in faith outside of that. He's interested in getting you help. That's the way God works. See, God has worked with me already, gave me choices. Well, you can do this or do that. Which one do you want to do? See, I have a choice. Do I want to stand on this higher level of faith or I want to go? In other words, I can do either one. It's up to me what I'm going to do with it. But it's going to be about my faith. But see, if He told me to do something that I couldn't do by my faith, then He's a problem. God's never going to do that. God tells you to go do a certain thing, so it's because this is the way He wants to deal with that, and you better go along for your faith to work in it. See, everyone, as many as are led by the Spirit, sometimes you just got to listen to that. Just listen. Do what God says. I've had God tell me to go to the hospital, and I really, going to the hospital didn't do a thing for me. And that there was going down to Mexico, and he wanted me to get that stupid boot for my foot. So I could use that as a testimony to people here. I was just in the hospital yesterday, and I had this happen, and here's the thing that they put on. He told me, now put that boot in your suitcase. And I thought, why are you going to take that boot in my suitcase? I ain't believing wear that stupid thing down there, walking around with that dumb thing on. Man. So you ain't going to go nowhere wearing that thing. I think, what's he telling? You better listen. So I thought, well, put it in there. I knew he was talking, and I put it in there. I thought, well, I ain't wearing it. Well, he didn't want me to wear it. So I get down to Mexico. He said, you're going to be speaking today. He said, use that as a testimony. People see what happened, that I do miracles, and I'll do miracles. You know, you can believe, they can believe God. See, he wanted things. See, people, lots of times in teaching faith, they need to see things. Oh, we get into churches today, church world today. Faith churches need people. They need to see things. They can't believe for stuff. They need to see stuff. They can't believe for. They need testimonies told to them of people, the miracles. They need more of that kind of stuff. They need somebody to tell them, this is what God did for me. Now, I read out of the book and read the things in the book because I've walked in this and I know it. I know it works, and I use what the things that God did for me. We can't just use other people's testimonies all the time. We have to have our own about our God. Because people need to know. You know, they see you around every day, and they see you just an ordinary person around them and doing. They need to hear from you. Hey, man, God did this for them. You know, even preaching them, you know, I was in the, when I worked in the prison system, a young guy trying to commit suicide. They told me to come in and sit and watch, but they specifically called me in to sit and watch with him, is to talk with this young man. And he'd try to commit suicide. And so the Lord had me talk to him about death, what's on the other side. You know, and we think as people today, no, but see, God wants to bring people revelation. Just me talking to him and share with certain things in him with scripture. He all of a sudden it grabbed him that there is a life after death. Because I said to him, you know, you cross this line, you commit suicide. I said, you don't get to come back. I said, you end up in the wrong spot. You're there forever. And I shared with him the scriptures. And I'll never forget, when the light came on in that young man, we had the counselor walked into prison, the block where we were in, had this guy in, walked in there. And he yelled down through and he said, do you know this guy over here? He knows God and he knows where you're going after death. See, that was a revelation to him. He had never known that. Boy, he just yelled it out down through. See, and I know the counselor thought, yeah, that's a crazy Gibson. I know what the counselor... But see, that young man got a revelation that day. That he never tried to commit suicide again. You don't go across that line. See, God brought him a revelation out of there. See, people need somebody around that God knows, that knows something, got something real, that knows things. See, you got the Lord spoke to me about speaking to people, about your own experience with God, because he said, when you can speak from your own spirit, he said, you can grab people's hearts. He said, because you know, you're talking from experience. You're not just sharing some words out of a book. This is what you live. He said, it grabs people's hearts. See, you have experiences with God. Don't take them as insignificant or nothing. Maybe you didn't get raised up from a heart attack, but you got stuff that's important. When God does something for you, is one of the things, use your testimony of God did for you. People would love to believe in a real God. They want to know. You know? They don't want to sit and read Billy Graham's book all the time and what Billy Graham. Oh, yeah, God would do. I've heard Christians, spirit-filled in our church. Oh, God did that for someone. Yeah, well, he was so-and-so. I think, dear God, you ain't got it yet. Do it for them? No, he'll do it for anybody. Amen. You're important. When you tell your experience, you walk with God, what he did for you and those things. People need that. Man, especially in this day and age. People need to know that God's real, that God is helping. Because, man, all they're hearing from, man, they're looking at their phones, their watches, they're seeing stuff, and everything looks like it's going down the toilet. They need to hear, somebody, this person over here, God's responding to. God did this. Like a guy, when I told him just the fact that there's a life after death, that revelation in him totally changed his life. Just that's, you know, it's like we take this thing for granted. But we should take none of it for granted. That guy got a hold of that, and that was like a, oh my God, he'd been trying to get over on the other side. But he didn't want to go over that other side. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you today for meeting with us. Hallelujah. Coming here and visiting with us. And Lord God, Lord, I thank you're a God that gives us testimonies of faith of your wonderful working and you working in us every day. Hallelujah. Your working, your wisdom. Oh, Father God, all the time working in us. Father, we're such a blessed people. Just having knowledge of you is an absolutely phenomenal, incredible thing. Lord, because, Lord, there's many people walking through this earth. Lord God, claiming Christianity, and maybe, but Lord God, live day to day with really so little knowledge, if they have any, of God. Lord, not knowing how blessed we are. Having knowledge of God, Lord God, being able to walk with you, Lord God, comprehending your word, Lord God, being able to walk and live in your word. What a phenomenal thing. Lord, I want to thank you. Lord God, we haven't arrived or do what we do because of our greatness or anything that we've done. Lord God, if it wouldn't be for the great teacher, the Holy Spirit in us, the one who takes what belongs to you, Lord Jesus, and reveals it to us. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, sometimes I'm sure we've been hard to teach. Sometimes we've been hard to get across things. But you have never stopped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've never left nor forsaken us. Hallelujah. You've continued in us to teach us and instruct us. And I just want to thank you for your great patience. You didn't tell us to be patient and you weren't. Surely you were patient. Hallelujah. Working steadily to reveal Jesus Christ that we could walk in. Jesus, if anything in our lives, Lord God, we want people to be able to look and say, they can see our faith. They can see, Lord God. And Father, as we look to these things again in the Word, we're going to look at these things. Hallelujah. Lord God, faith it's seen. Faith, hallelujah. Lord God, that just changes lives, that turns things upside down and makes them into something better. Hallelujah. Father, we want to be that. We want to be the testimony to people in this day and age. We want to be a wonderful, Lord God, that people can look at us. It's not, Lord God, that we're miraculous or we're one, but they can see that something works in us that doesn't work in them, that doesn't work in others. Lord God, that they would see life, that they would see goodness, that they would see people, Lord God, that even going through the struggles of life, we don't struggle like others. We have hope. And we walk and live a life like we hope. We act like we have hope. Hallelujah. We act like we have something better. We act like we have something that we're held on to. We act like we have a strong tower. We act like, Lord God, that we have victory in Christ Jesus. Lord God, that our actions in life are the actions of a people who are above and not beneath. A people who are ahead and not the tail. Hallelujah. A people who are redeemed from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. That we're not a cursed people. Hallelujah. That we're the blessed people of God. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That blessings run and overtake us. Hallelujah. Wherever we go, blessing goes. Hallelujah. Wherever we walk, the hand of God is upon us to work and to bless and to help. Hallelujah. That's who we are. We're the children of God. Glory to God, I just want to thank you. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you're working and do mightily, mightily in us. Hallelujah. That you're rising up big inside of us. And Father God, I want to thank you that just as our faith, as we step out and we release our faith, hallelujah, just as Bartimaeus did, Lord God, you just come to a standstill. And hallelujah. You just come and you stop right at that place to bring to pass, hallelujah, just exactly what we said or asked. Hallelujah. That's you working in us. And so we thank you today, Father. We don't have to leave here despondent in any way. We don't have to leave here worrying about the things happening. We walk out of this place, we're the people of victory. Hallelujah, we always triumph in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We may stumble and fall, but the Scripture says you can make us stand. Hallelujah. And it said if we fall down 7 times, you'd raise us up. Hallelujah. Lord God, you would stand us up till we completely stand. And we thank you, Father. Father, we're not going to walk by our abilities and our wisdom and our understanding. We're going to walk by your wisdom, your understanding, your life working mightily in us. Jesus Christ will be glorified. Jesus Christ will be magnified through us. Hallelujah. Because of the great work that you've done in us through the salvation in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, that strength is working mightily in each one today in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you're strengthening them with might by your Spirit in their inner man, that Christ is dwelling in their hearts by faith, that they're rooted and grounded in love. They're able to comprehend with all the saints what's the height and length and the depth and the breadth of the love of God. Hallelujah. That's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you. You're doing a mighty work. Hallelujah. And Lord, again, the great work that you started in them, you're bringing it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that they have victory on every hand in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you in these last days, they will be a great testimony of the glory of God in the earth. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, many will hear, many will understand and comprehend, Lord God, through their lives and through their working, Lord God, that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and the kingdom will be increased. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.